Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Here we are back online, the great online church service. We are not in the room this week, but listen, do not let that stop you. God is going to work. God is going to speak. Now, you might be wondering, if you haven't seen me standing up here before, who is that? My name's Adam Turnbull, one of the associate pastors here in Exchange. And I'm delighted, even though I cannot see you, I am delighted to be here to trust that God is going to work, that God is going to move, that God is going to speak to you, that God is going to bless you, and actually that you can draw near him no matter what's going on. He's not limited by the fact we're not in the room. So, we're going to get right into it. We're going to trust that God's going to speak to us. We are now right into December, flying in with the Christmas spirit that I'm sure you all have. Nothing says Christmas spirit like a closed church service with nobody in the room, and it's quite freezing, though, to be fair. But listen, we're right into it. I don't know whether you're in the Christmas spirit or not. I usually am never in the Christmas spirit right up until the 24th of December, and then I'm maybe in it for 2 days, and then I'm out of it again for the next year. But nothing really gets you into the Christmas spirit like an Advent calendar. I don't know if anybody has Advent calendars, whether that's just me being weird, but I got one from my sister-in-law this year. Thank you very much, Sophie. And it was great. Actually, it's dairy milk. I'm a big fan of dairy milk. Don't know if anyone else is a fan of that. But nothing says Christmas spirit like getting 5 days in a row having a chomp that you don't like. That's what I got, 5 days in a row. I got a chomp. So I was well into the Christmas spirit after getting it. And then 5 days later, I thought, I'm just craving something else. So I hope you're a bit more excited about Christmas than I am. Here's the good news. The Christmas spirit is all about hope, all about faith, and all about trusting that God is moving in your midst. And there's hope for you. Today, there's hope for you to hear his voice. That's the real spirit of it. So we're right into it. Last week, we started Against All Odds. Andrew started that series, and we heard as well, I think it was the week before, from Penny, about the story of Zechariah. And it was this thought that no matter what's going on in your life, you can have hope, you can have faith, you can respond to God and trust that no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening in your circumstances, that you can see what he's promised, that you can believe, and actually no matter where you're at, you can remain positioned in faith to receive exactly what he's promised you, whatever that looks like for you in life. Against all odds, against all your circumstances, God is still moving and God is still working. So today is no different. We are going to get straight into the book of Luke and hear about Mary. Her story when Gabriel came to her to prophesy, to proclaim that Jesus was going to come from her, that she was going to be the mother of the Son of God. So we'll get right into it. In Luke chapter 1, it was verse 26. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that was Mary's relative, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee that nobody had ever heard of. By the way, the first mention of Nazareth, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Now, I think about that and we think about the angel Gabriel coming straight in. Fair play to him, right? He just comes right in, doesn't hesitate, doesn't ask Mary how she's feeling about an angel being there, doesn't really ask how she's feeling about what he says. He just goes straight in with it and says, this is what God's going to do. This is how he's going to do it. And then leaves. It's this thought that God, it just jumps into your life, just works in your life, and basically he draws your attention to the fact of what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. When God calls you, when God speaks in your life, it's not about how you feel about it, because how you feel about it is not going to determine what he can do. When he calls you, it's about his ability. And this is exactly what Gabriel was doing. So fair play to him. He didn't really say, "Good morning, Mary, how are you? Strap yourself in, brace yourself. Do you want to sit down? Do you want somebody with you?" No, he just said, "This is what God's going to do. This is how he's going to do it." And there's going to be no difference today. God speaks into your life, and he's going to produce hope, prophesy hope and future over you, that you can continue to believe that he can work in your life. Mary's response is, it's fascinating, really. She says, "May it be unto me as you have said." Mary says, "May it be as you have said." Not "may it be as I feel," not "may it be as I think." "May it be as you have said, God." There is a distinct difference between Mary and Zachariah. So her relative was Elizabeth. So Elizabeth's husband Zachariah, who was told, we heard a couple of weeks ago from Penny, he was told that he and Elizabeth were going to have a baby, and his response was very different. Zachariah says to the angel, "How will I know this? I'm an old man, my wife is advanced in years." But Mary, she says, "How are you going to do it?" There's a difference. Zachariah says, "How can you actually do this?" Whereas Mary says, "You can do it, but how?" It's this difference with Mary. Now, Zachariah, as we know, he was then made mute by the angel. He couldn't speak about what God was going to do. But Mary's different. It's this versus of, "How are you going to even do this, God? Are you even able?" Versus, "God, I know you're able, but I have no idea how." Let us get ourselves to a position and a place that even if we don't know how God's going to do it, we know that he's capable and he's able. This is what Mary did in her response when she says, "May it be as you have said," not "may it be as I understand," not "may it be as my circumstances dictate," "may it be as you have said," because you know how the outcome's going to work itself out, God, and I trust you. It's the incredible thing about Mary's response. Gabriel steps in, born out of a 400-year silence between the two testaments, old and the new, where God had not spoken. There'd been no prophetic word, and Gabriel steps right in into a town of Nazareth, which was a nothing town. No good thing ever came out of Nazareth. Remember, that's what's said about Jesus. But in steps Gabriel, and Mary says, "May it be as you have said." Oh God, that we would be able to align ourselves in faith with what you say, not about our feelings or emotions. And that's what today's going to be about. How can you have hope? How can you have faith in the middle of those things when you're contending with all of the different things that go on? It was said to Mary that she was highly favored, blessed. The Lord is with you. This is what I love about the grace of God. This is what I love about his love for you. There was nothing, there is nothing to indicate how Mary had found any favor with God. Very, very unlike Zachariah, who was going into the temple, who was burning incense, and he was at a position of authority and power just earlier in the chapter. Mary had nothing going for her in terms of worldly success. There was nothing to indicate how she found favor with God. What was it? It was she had a capacity to believe. She simply trusted God at his word, and she was humble. Yes, the Bible says God opposes the proud and he'll come against that, but actually if you have a heart open to trust God and to believe God, that's where he can work. You don't have to be in a position of authority. You don't have to be in a position of power. You just simply have a heart that's open. And this is Mary. This is what Gabriel said. "You're highly favored, blessed. The Lord is with you." It's not about worldly success. It's about your identity and knowing what God has called you for. Mary was greatly troubled. At Gabriel, it said that she was greatly troubled, and that was to do with her humility. She didn't know God was calling her great, highly favored. How's that going to work itself out? Because she was so humble. But her trouble didn't stop her from believing God. Her trouble in her own humility didn't stop that, because she had a heart set on God and set on his ways. She was greatly troubled when an angel said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." When we can't accept who God has called us to be, we will think less of what he's called us for. when we don't really understand our identity. Because in steps Gabriel to Mary, and God steps into your life this morning and says that you're highly favored, you're blessed, and I'm with you. And Mary was troubled by it, but it did not stop her from believing what God was going to do. I want to urge you and encourage you, don't allow your own opinion of yourself, your own opinion of who God says that you are, to stop you, to trouble you so much that you don't get to join in with what he's called you for. Accept who God has called you to be. Don't think less of yourself. Know who he's called you to be. You see, right at this moment, she had a choice. She had a choice to believe she was highly favored because there was nothing to suggest that she'd done anything to be accepted by God, why she should be chosen to be blessed, to be the mother of Jesus. There was nothing to indicate that apart from her humility. You know, sometimes we do this. We have this wrestling match with, we recognize we're righteous when we're in Christ, and then some days we don't feel like it, and then other days we're totally confident and insecure. Mary made the choice, no matter how she felt. She made the choice to believe that the angel Gabriel has said, I'm highly favored, therefore I'm highly favored. And I speak to you this morning, if you are in Christ, if you've said yes to him, you are righteous because of what he has done for you. You're righteous and you're able to partake in everything that God has for you. So don't fall at the first hurdle. When God says you're loved, when God says you're blessed, when God says you're highly favored, that you're going to see him working in your life, don't say, but God, I haven't earned it. But God, I'm not good enough. I don't feel good enough. Don't fall at the first hurdle. We say to ourselves, how can I carry God's promises in my life? Look at my life. Look at me. Look what I've done. See, this is the amazing thing. It's all about his grace. You won't believe for anything in your life. You won't see any promises come to pass if you can't get past the first hurdle, which is no matter what you've done, what you've said, when you're in Christ, you're blessed and he loves you. And Mary didn't fall at that first hurdle. Nothing to suggest she was any of those things, but she received it and said, because you've said I am, that means I am. Remember, he became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Don't fall at the first hurdle. You're blessed, highly favored, loved, no matter what God, no matter what your life has looked like, no matter what you've said or done. When you're in Christ, that is your nature. So that was Mary's response. May it be unto me as you have said. And then the angel Gabriel leaves. But Mary had to contend with this promise. The fact that Gabriel said she was going to have Jesus didn't automatically make it so. There's a process from Gabriel saying it's going to happen and her having Jesus, giving birth to him and him living the life right up until the age of 30 to 33 in his ministry. There was a time of waiting. Isn't it a great challenge? One of the greatest challenges when it lies between the promise being declared and the promise being fulfilled. We're aware of that, aren't we? There's a challenge in the waiting. And Mary had to contend with this. Mary's, may it be according to your word. It wasn't straightforward. Why? Mary knew when she said yes to God. What was she doing? Opening herself up to criticism, ridicule, and danger. Why? Because she wasn't married. Legally, Mary to be seen as pregnant when she wasn't married to Joseph. She left herself open to the claims of adultery. She left herself open to the claims that she was unrighteous, that she shouldn't have been doing what she was doing. She left herself open to all of these things. Being a woman, she was likely in these days illiterate. She couldn't tell her own story. She couldn't write down what God was doing. She was unable to be in a position to speak about it in the way that I'm able to right now. She was unable to do that. Mary had to contend with the problems surrounding the birth, traveling to Bethlehem on a 10-day trip, the Son of the Most High being born in a stable, most likely a cave. God, is this it? Born in a cave, the Son of the Most High, why am I here taking a trip to Bethlehem? Why am I here? Jesus being born in a cave, is this really what you've got for me? She had to contend with these things. And many times in life, we have got to contend with God saying he's with us, with God saying he's going to prosper us so we can bless those around us, when he's going to prosper us so that we can know his voice, when he's going to prosper us so we can be joy and peace and wholeness to people. there are things we need to contend with, our circumstances. And that's what Mary, and that's what Joseph as well, had to contend with. It didn't look like what she had hoped for. The joy at being told by Gabriel, it wasn't the same a number of months later when she had to give birth. It's a declaration made by Gabriel. Although true, it required her to contend with this now and not yet. And I want to speak to those who are contending with that in your life, in your lives, those who have been promised blessing by God, those who have been promised things that in terms of whether it's in their business, whether it's in their family, whether it's in their marriages, they thought that they would see this or this would come to pass. But you're contending with a very different set of circumstances. You're contending with a very different reality. I want to speak to those that say there's not any point of ignoring your reality, but it's recognizing that God is right there in the middle of it, and he is not a man that he should lie. And this is what Mary was contending with. Not only did she have to contend with the difficult journey to Bethlehem, with her son being born in a cave, no, she had to contend with Herod's decree after him being born. She had to flee with Jesus to Egypt for a year plus to hide, because remember, Herod's decree was to kill all the boys under the age of 2, because he'd heard about Jesus. He'd heard about that this could be the Messiah, that this could be a child who's blessed to be used by God. Think about it. Mary contending after this great promise from this angel, after saying, "May it be to me according to your word, nothing's impossible with God," said Gabriel. She finds herself in Egypt. Has God ever made you a promise where you find yourself back in the very place or back in the very circumstance that you thought you were delivered from? That's exactly where Mary and Joseph found themselves. Ever find yourself stuck back at the same place you left? Like the Israelites going round and round and round, the same stories, the same issues, but yet God's promised to be with you, yet God's promised to be working in your life. Ever find yourself at the place you thought you'd been delivered from? Sometimes one step forward, God's working, and then it's two steps back. God, what are you doing? What's happening in my life that this is where I'm at? See, this is exactly where Mary and Joseph find themselves. In Egypt, the place where the Israelites, the people of God, have been delivered from, she finds herself with the deliverer as a baby back in Egypt. How can Jesus rule in the house of David? She's probably thinking, Gabriel, why did you say this? How can Jesus rule in the house of David when we aren't even there? Anybody? How can I see God move when I'm not even in that place? How can I see God bless me in that situation whenever it looks like this? How can you do it, God, when it all looks completely different? How can you work, God, whenever I'm in this setback? Whenever I've taken two steps back, whenever it doesn't look the way I wanted it to? Anybody? I know that's been me. I know that's something that I've experienced, where you go, God, how are you going to work this out? And what Mary does, and what Mary did, is she draws herself back to the fact that God's word is flawless. And I say to you, in the middle of your setback, in the middle of what seems like two steps backward, God is orchestrating your future. In the difficulty, in the trial, God is continually faithful to his word. There's a practice in the discipline of gardening, and for those who know me, you will be in shock and disbelief that I'm even talking about gardening, because I just do what my wife tells me to do. But there is this procedure, we'll call it, in gardening, where you cut back plants. I can't believe I'm talking about this. Where you cut back plants after the flowering season. This, my wife will be criticizing me here if I'm getting this wrong. You cut back plants after the flowering season. You chop down the twigs and branches so that you can give adequate room so that they prepare themselves for the next growing season, the next year. Now, to me, the uninitiated gardener, I don't see the sense in this. I don't understand why this works, that I cut back trees and plants. Whereas, why can I not just leave the flowers and the lovely things on them? Why can't I just do that? But what happens is you're creating space. You're allowing a plant and a flower to grow back in such a healthy way that it blooms and blossoms and all those other lovely words to describe that the next year. It makes no sense, but when you cut those things back, they're prepared and they can grow into what they should be the next year. Feels like a setback to me whenever I was doing that with my secretaires, cutting those things. That's what it feels like. But you're preparing it for its future. And God is exactly the same in your life. Finding yourself in situations you weren't aware of, finding yourself in broken reality, God is working in the middle of it. What? To prepare you for your future. In the same way he was with Mary, the same way he was with Jesus, going to great lengths to avoid Herod, great lengths to avoid danger, so that he would preserve his son. And that's exactly what he's doing for you as well. Preserving you to prepare you for your future. Working on your character, working in your situation, working in your family, working in your business. That is what God is doing so that you can be someone who can bless those around you. And that's what Mary had, a faith, no matter where she found herself, no matter where she found herself in, God was still faithful to his promise. Faith often works in the presence of fear. It often works in the presence of fear. I think recently we've heard about Gideon, afraid all the time, terrified at how he could be a man to deliver the people of God. But God has grace for that when you worry. God has grace for that when you fear. But when you choose faith, when you say, may it be unto me according to your word. When you choose faith, fear always tries to come and derail you from the promise of God. Situations, the fact we live in a broken world, they will serve as distractions for you to try and knock your focus off God. And that's what the enemy tries. You see, in the house of faith, when you're entertaining faith, fear will always try to come and knock at the door. Drown it out. Ignore it. Because faith doesn't come from striving. It doesn't come from trying to manipulate God to move a little faster, to act a little faster. What does faith do? The choice to believe that God and his word. Faith refuses to allow any other voice to derail you, any other voice to dictate your course of action. And that's what Mary did. No matter finding herself in Egypt, finding herself on the way to Bethlehem, finding herself in a cave, she said, may it be unto me according to your word. And that's what her claim was when she said that to Gabriel. See, what you listen to, what you look at, it grows. We become what we tolerate. And I want to challenge you. What are you tolerating in terms of what the enemy has tried to convince you of? What your own circumstances are trying to distract you from? What are you tolerating? Make the choice today, as Mary did, to trust God at his word. Fear reminds you of your circumstances. But what does faith do? It says that God is above my circumstances. His promise is a promise, no matter what I see in front of me. No matter how long I'm back in Egypt for, no matter how long I'm in this situation, no matter how long it feels like this, God's timing is perfect and he is well able. How many of you know that bad circumstances do not stop a good God? They don't derail him, they don't stop him, because his word is flawless. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace, is what the Amplified Version says from Gabriel to Mary. And that means free, spontaneous, absolute favor and loving kindness with God. That's your reality today. You have found favor, grace with God. You know, in the current climate, media, social media, governments, your own feelings, your own flawed thinking, and here's the reality, we all have flawed thinking at times. It's very easy to think, maybe I misheard God in that promise for my life. Maybe he's changed his mind. Maybe he no longer is going to do the thing that he said he was going to do. Maybe I just got a little bit wrong. Mary could have thought that a number of times, but she brings herself back to Gabriel's word. The word of God is powerful and it's flawless. And this, it says, for nothing is impossible with God, but literally what this means for no God, no word from God will fail ever. That's what it means. And that was her commitment. Against all odds, God, I bring myself back to your promise that I'm highly favored, that you're with me, that I'm blessed. I bring yourself back to your word. Don't allow the voices to drown out God's promise in your life. Don't listen to the voices to the left or to the right. Trust in who he is and remind yourself that his word is flawless. See, Mary didn't ignore her circumstances. I mean, they were her reality. After saying yes, her yes was a tricky yes for those 9 months when she was pregnant, to Bethlehem, to Egypt, to not actually having Jesus in the promised land until he was older. She didn't choose to ignore her circumstances, but she made the decision to not consider them first. And that's the difference between the worldly hope of, oh, fingers crossed, we heard last week, fingers crossed, this is going to work out. I hope the weather's better tomorrow. I hope God will come through for me. I hope that things will improve. That's worldly hope. Biblical hope is an absolute surety, the absolute confidence that your God is true to his word and he's coming. I just need to wait for it. He will show up. And that's what we see with Abraham. In the book of Romans, it says that Abraham, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded God had the power to do what he had promised. I'm going to encourage you today, and I must keep going with time, actually, we're almost done here. God is a supernatural God who infiltrates the natural. And if you find yourself in a natural circumstance, in a disappointing circumstance, in a hard circumstance, God says that against all odds, my word will come to pass. He's committed to working in your circumstances, and it's his responsibility to protect you through that. One of the things Mary did is she positioned herself in the right place to praise. She positioned herself right at the start to praise God. And this is fantastic. I love this. And this is something that's so important for us, is the power of praise. What does Mary do after Gabriel prophesies, declares that Jesus is coming? After Gabriel, it says that Mary goes to visit her relative Elizabeth. It says, Elizabeth's in her sixth month with John the Baptist, soon to be born. And it says, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to another town. And Elizabeth says to her, blessed are you, Mary, because you've believed the Lord. You've believed that he said he will accomplish this. And what does Mary do? Mary goes here, but she breaks into praise. She breaks into song and says, God, you're mighty. God, you've done mighty deeds. God, you've raised up the humble. Mary praises the Lord. But she's only just been told she's pregnant. Mary praises before her breakthrough. And this is so different again compared to Elizabeth's husband Zachariah, who only praised whenever he was no longer mute. He praised after John had been born. Mary praises before Jesus is anywhere near being born. When she's barely pregnant, when Elizabeth hasn't even had John yet. So neither of these promises have come to pass. But what does she do? She praises God. Church, praise him before your breakthrough. Don't be like the Israelites who walk through the Red Sea with the power of God before them, and they praise him when they get to the other side because, what a relief, God showed up for us. Praise him before your breakthrough. Don't allow your circumstances, don't allow your own Israelites, your own problems, your own issues derail you from the fact that God is true. Blessed are you who believe and have not seen, is what Jesus said to Thomas. Believe that God's word is flawless. No matter where you need the breakthrough, praise him before it comes. Because why? God lives where your praise is. God inhabits the praises of his people. It's your weapon. I have found in my life, when I praise God, when I worship him, even when I don't know what it looks like, even when I don't know what it feels like, even though I can't see God working, when I praise him, when I lift up my heart to him, what happens? I am changed. My heart is changed. Praise is a weapon that the enemy flees with, because that's where God, he inhabits those praises. Think about it. Paul and Silas in the book of Acts, stuck in prison. God, we need you to turn this situation around. They had nowhere to go. What did they do? They praised God. Literally chained in prison with no way out. They praise him. They sing songs. And that's what praise does. It shifts your own heart. It positions you in faith to believe what God has done. Faith doesn't just believe that God can do something. It's not just a trust that believes solely in the ability of God. Faith is a belief that you're going to see that ability at work. Faith is the absolute confidence and expectation that God, you're going to show up in my life. That Mary said, you're going to deliver this baby boy. That he's going to be the savior of the world. Why? Because you told me, God. You said it. It positions you to see it. So praise. It's your praise before you see it. Praise before your breakthrough. Because that will build your faith to receive everything that God has for you. Feeling like you're not righteous? Praise him. Feeling like you don't have enough? Praise him. Feeling like it's not going to work out? Praise him. Allow your heart to shift. Position yourself in faith to trust that God will do exactly what he said he will. Mary's story in Luke 1 is a story of hope. It's a story of persevering through trial. It's a story of holding on to faith whenever you've got nothing else. But make no mistake, this is a story of God's goodness in the middle of impossibility. Can I just say to you, no matter where you're at in your life, no matter what situation you are in, God is more committed to his promise in your life than you are. God was more committed to preserve Jesus, his own son, than Mary was. And Mary followed God and obeyed God and went to Egypt and did this and went to Bethlehem and did all of those things. God is more committed to you than you are. He's more committed to prosper you, that you'll be more like him, that you'll be changed in his likeness, that you'll see him work in every area of your life. He's more committed than you are for that. He protects Jesus in his mother's womb right throughout. God goes to great lengths to show you that he's there to protect you as well. So what are you going to choose today? What's your cry going to be when everything comes crashing around you and you're distracted to the left and to the right and you hear the other voices saying, how's this going to work out? God, how are you going to do this? How's he going to do it? Whenever all the people around Mary would say, but sure, you're pregnant, you shouldn't be pregnant. Whenever you've committed adultery, you're not even married to Joseph. All the other voices that rage around you. What are you going to say? May it be to me according to your word. Not according to the voices around me. Not according to the voice of my family who don't believe that you can do it. Not according to the voice of the people that come against me. May it be to me as you have said. You're righteous. You're highly favored. Blessed. The Lord is with you. Make it a God, you're going to do it. I don't know how, but you're going to do it. For those that struggle with unbelief and doubt, God comes to you today and he says that no word of mine is powerless. No word of mine is flawless. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace. Loving kindness, spontaneous, absolute favor. A church, when you're in Christ, that is who you are. He has covered over what you've done. He has covered over what you've said. He loves you with an everlasting love. And that's what allows you to say, may it be to me according to your word, because I'm highly favored because of your grace. That's what he said to Mary. And that's what you have in your life today when you're in Christ. As you contend with the promise, it can be difficult with those things raging around you. And for those that struggle, I want to encourage you with this point. What did Mary do? Gabriel comes. She goes immediately to Elizabeth, where God's already working a miracle. Elizabeth was barren, shouldn't have had any children. She immediately goes there. I want to encourage you, if you struggle with doubting God working in any area of your life, what should you do? Get around people where God's working in their lives. Get around people where God's doing a miracle already. Get around people who are already believing. Get around people who are trusting in faith that God's going to work a miracle in their lives. That's what Mary did. She went straight to Elizabeth and stayed there for 3 months, right up until the point from the 6th month to the 9th month where John the Baptist was born. So she could see with her own eyes, God, you are in the business of accomplishing your word. So if you struggle and if you find this is hard to continue to believe, get yourself around the people where God is working in their lives and praise him. Use it as your weapon. We go back to Gabriel as I finish here. He doesn't say, Mary, strap yourself in. Let's get ready for this. sit down, make sure you're comfortable when I tell you this word. No, he simply says, no word from God is powerless. And no word of God is going to be thwarted by how you feel about this. No word of God is going to be thwarted about how the things you're going to experience, your circumstances. The Amplified Version says, for with God nothing is or ever will be impossible. And no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. God has given you grace for when you contend, when you doubt, when you're unsure. But his word is still the same. And he challenges you today to come back to him to say, God, I give you everything to choose to believe that you're going to come through for me. As I finish right now, I want to encourage those who need hope, those who need faith in their lives for what God's going to do. The Bible says that he gives strength to the weary in Isaiah 40. And he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And I want to encourage you to get communion as well. Just, I'm going to take a couple of minutes as we do communion and just to finish. Where do you need hope in your life? Where have you believed God initially and you thought, yes, just when Mary was told by Gabriel, you're going to see great things, God's going to do incredible things. You believed at the start and you absolutely trusted that God was going to do it. But as time goes on and you start to contend that challenge between the now and the not yet, that challenge between the declaration of the promise and it being fulfilled, somewhere along the way, you threw it away and thought, I don't think God's going to do it. I don't think he's going to be able to be true to his word because look at my reality. Look at my circumstances. Look what's going on. God comes to you afresh and he says, I know you're tired. I know you're weary. I know it's difficult. But my word is powerless. And will you pick yourself up again and not fall at the first hurdle? Remind yourself that you're righteous, that he loves you, and that he's hope for you. God wants to pour into your life that you can be blessed and highly favored, yes, to be a blessing to those around you, to share what he's done in your life, but to break through for you in the areas where you need breakthrough. So I want to encourage you, take the bread, and as we do communion, God speaks to you and he says that his body was broken, that he went to great lengths to being born, as we see in this story, so that you can be blessed, so that you can be highly favored, so that you can be walking with him. And he says that no word of his is impossible because of what he has accomplished for you. And his body was broken so that you can live in wholeness. So we say, Jesus, thank you for that. Give us fresh hope. Give us fresh vision, God, that you're speaking, that you're moving, that you're working, and that you can do it because of your grace. And we choose to believe in who you are. We say, thank you, Lord. And we thank you for the juice. Thank you that we are called righteous, that we are called highly favored. We are blessed that you say, God, that you're with us at all times because of what you've done. And we thank you for that. We say, Jesus, your blood shed for us that we can walk in wholeness. We say, thank you, Lord. As I just struggle with my communion. Hold on. Here we go. Fantastic. Say, Jesus, thank you. God has fresh hope for you today. Fresh dreams, fresh vision. What does he need from you? He simply needs you to say, may it be to me according to your word. I'm righteous, I'm holy, I receive it, and I walk in it, and I choose faith over fear. Make the choice today. Make the choice to believe again of what God's spoken to you, that no matter what, his word is absolutely flawless and his word will always be powerful enough to bring exactly what he said to completion. Be blessed today in Jesus' name. Amen.
In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
I hope that word blessed you today. We're going to go straight into giving before we say cheerio. And I want to encourage you, as a response to who God is, a response really to what he's done. He is your provider. God provides for you, and it's an act of worship to give. So we encourage you to give generously. As we always say in Exchange, and we mean it every single time, you will never hear about money before you've heard about Jesus. And we want you just to be able to give freely without compulsion. There's no manipulation here. You give as you feel led to do so. And if you feel led to do so, fantastic. The details will be on the screen for you to do that. And we encourage you to do it. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining with us this morning. Yes, it's been online. We are fully expecting and excited about being back in the room next week, and it'll be good just to be here again together. But as you go this week, remind yourself again, God has fresh hope for me, and actually your word is flawless. So go this week with God, be expectant, waiting on him, which is the biblical hope of he will show up. I don't know how, but he will show up. Be blessed as you go this week. Walk in faith because he's faithful to you. Be blessed. Amen.